Thank you all for coming today. I'm excited to share some of the work that I've been doing at Farmlogs with some of my colleagues who are here as well, Rishi and Sarah. What we've been trying to do is really find a way to do something that a lot of people have been talking about today, which is to make useful decision support aids and tools for growers throughout the United States, in our case. We've been using rapid-eye satellite imagery and trying to figure out what can we do with this to help farmers throughout the season kind of prioritize their time and make the best decisions and best management choices that they can to maximize their yield. One of the things that we've heard from a lot of our users is that scouting fields effectively can be difficult, especially when your fields are geographically dispersed. This is a map of the fields that one of our growers has under management or had under management in 2014. And it's difficult for him to be able to get to all of these fields on a regular basis and actually be able to walk those fields or understand what the potential threats to his yield are. And so what ended up happening is we found that a lot of people actually just do window scouting. When they drive by, if you can't see it from the road, it wasn't something they were able to really keep in their mind or logistically keep on top of. So our goal is really to provide growers with an easy-to-use interpretable scouting aid. We wanted something that a farmer could look at, understand what it meant for them, what it meant for their management practices, and decide whether or not it was worth their time to go out and investigate more deeply. The challenge for us is that we have users scattered throughout the Midwestern United States, and we want to be able to provide the information to them in as near real-time as possible. The imagery we had available to us, like I mentioned earlier, is rapid-eye satellite images. Those are a 5-meter resolution. We have about 200,000 images that are stored as 25-kilometer by 25-kilometer tiles that we locally store in a database. And those have been collected between May and September of 2009 and all the way through the present. And then as far as our user data goes, we had about 400,000 fields in the area where the satellite imagery was available who had entered their field boundaries and had decided that they wanted to take part in our crop health alert scouting program. So you can see our area of interest here. This is our study area. And within this area, it literally covers the Midwestern United States. So there's a wide variety of management practices, crops that are being grown, weather regimes, so precipitation, temperature. And we wanted a method that we could apply automatically to all the fields that were in this area, which is pretty non-trivial from our perspective. So the first thing that we did is we got the raw satellite imagery. We converted it to WDRVI, the Wide Dynamic Range Vegetation Index. We decided to use that index because we found it was more sensitive to changes in canopy structure when the canopy exceeded an LAI of 2 or 3. And then once we had the WDRVI image, what we did is we converted it from the actual vegetative indice into a rank order percentile. So the highest WDRVI value in the image became 1, and the lowest became 0, and everything else was ordered from 0 to 1. The reason that we did that is that we wanted to see how pixels and groups of pixels would change in relative to one another throughout the growing season. So here's a sample field. This field is located in Illinois. You can see the WDRVI images throughout the growing season. In 2014, we had 5 images for this field, which I know doesn't sound like a lot relative to some of the collections that we've been hearing about from other people. But the real benefit is that the farmer didn't have to do anything other than sign up for this program in order to get these images. They didn't have to buy a drone, understand how to process the imagery or anything else. And you can also see kind of throughout the growing season that we captured the canopy structure relatively well. From the May 6th bare soil image through June, July, as the crop really greens up, August when it was at its peak WDRVI, and then in September as the crop starts to brown down. And the first thing that we did with those images is that we just took the difference between the rank-ordered images. And so what we have now is that each pixel's value is the percentile change from the first image, which I've kind of marked here. So this first one would be May 6th to June 14th. And we just want to see how much did it change between the two images that we had. And so while this is interesting to look at, it's still not really actionable for our users. And so we wanted to process it further to really be able to call out the areas that could potentially demand their attention. And the way that we did that is we applied a number of image morphology processing techniques, so similar to some of the object-based techniques we were talking about earlier, where we smooth the images and then we bend the actual percentile changes into 20 percentile bends. And so you can see they go from nothing ever got to negative 100% change, but usually around negative 80% to negative 60% change, all the way up to a 60% to an 80% change. So the green areas experienced strong positive changes in WDRVI, and the red and yellow areas exhibited strong negative changes in WDRVI. And then the other thing that we did here is that we wanted to set some sort of noise threshold. What would we consider no change on the field? And we decided that either a 20% decrease or a 20% increase in WDRVI would be considered our no change. And so what we're left with are these kind of pixel clusters that have been binned by these percentile changes. And you can see there's some real structure to some of these on the field. And then the last thing we did, because we didn't want to just send a bunch of binned cluster pixels that would still be relatively hard to interpret, especially when you have dozens of fields, we excluded all of the pixel clusters that didn't have some strong central negative change. And that threshold that we set was a negative 50 percentile change. And so what you're seeing here are all of the image or the pixel clusters that contained at least that 50% change. And so once we had identified the kind of seeds, the 50 percentile change kind of centers, we filled back in all the negative 40 percentile, 30 percentile, et cetera, changes around those so that farmers would have a context in terms of the shape and potential, just how the potential anomaly looks on their field. So this is great. This is useful. We can send it to users. They can take a look at it, and then they'll know where to scout their fields. But we also wanted to see if it really counted, if it really mattered at the end of the day. And so we compared it to some yield maps. And you can see for this particular anomaly image that where those dark red 50 percentile changes did occur on the field, you can see similarly shaped decreases in yield or low areas in yield. You can kind of see it if you go back up one, but you'll note there's a long strip on the, I think it's the right-hand side of your screen in the first anomaly image. There's also a point in the final anomaly image, and those show up in this as well. And the final thing that we did to kind of correct for some of the yield anomalies there, or the low yields that you might see on a field, but that you would always see on a field, is we applied this whole imagery processing process, this pipeline, to the images that we had in previous years, and then filtered out the anomalies that you would expect to see every single year. So areas that consistently flood out in wet weather, or areas that are just persistently low in their yield potential. And when we started to show maps like this, images like this, to our users, they were pretty interested. And actually, as we started to send out anomaly alerts to our growers, they started to send things like this. This was a tweet that they sent to us, showing the anomaly alert that we had sent them, and then taking a picture of the grasshoppers that had infested that area of the field. And so this allowed this particular user to actually go out and treat the grasshoppers and potentially save some of the yield on this field. And while we appreciate anecdotes like this, we know that this isn't the whole story. So we really tried to then get a sense from our broader user base. What did you think about this feature? Was it useful to you? And was it something that you actually cared about and were willing to use? And so of the over 500,000 alerts that we sent out in the 2015 growing season, we surveyed about 10% of the recipients of those alerts and asked them to go out and scout their fields for the issue that we had identified, or the potential issue. About 61% of those users did scout their fields, and you can kind of see what they found here. Most folks said that it was just water stress. They didn't have irrigation on the field, and it's something that sometimes they already knew about. And one user actually told us that we were rubbing it in because he knew he had lost some yield on that field, but he was glad to know that we were keeping an eye out. And so we also saw some nutrient stress and some other things. One thing I'd also like to point out is that about 17% of the people who did scout their fields said that they didn't find an issue, which shows that we have some room for growth in terms of how we process these images and the things that we identify. The other thing I wanted to call out here is that 60% of the users scouted it, but that means about 40% didn't. And this we found was a mix of things. One is that we were picking up on some management activities that we just didn't know about, like harvest. So it shouldn't be surprising that when you harvest your field, you'd see a dramatic decrease in WDRVI. And so being able to integrate those management activities, I think, is going to be an easy win for us in improving this next year. The other things that we found is that a lot of people just said, how do you know what's going on in my field if you haven't actually been there? And so when they drove by the field, they maybe did some window scouting, and they said, you know, I couldn't see it from the road, and so I'm just not sure it's actually worth my time. And so that's something where that's on us, I think, to help educate people as to the potential benefits of the research that all of us are doing in terms of remote sensing and how it can be useful for remote monitoring. And so the big benefit to growers, you can see here, this is that original study area where I present the average number of anomalies that we found on a given field in this each of those dots. Each of those dots is about, I think, 300 square miles. You can see that we delivered anomalies alerts, crop health alerts, to growers across the Midwestern United States. So even with the relatively, I think, straightforward methods that we applied, we were able to provide something useful to growers without any extra work on their part. No machine learning training, no purchasing of extra hardware or software. We would actually send alerts to people to their smartphones and then they could walk out into the middle of the field and see, you know, where the alert was. This is something that, from a lot of growers' perspectives, was free, as we didn't charge for it either. So the next steps for us, I think one of the easiest ones is just being able to time some of these anomaly alerts with management activities around the field. So winter wheat harvests in the middle of the year, so we probably shouldn't send alerts after we think people are starting to harvest. And then also trying to identify when yield threats are going to be most poignant to growers. So there's different sensitivities to for corn versus wheat versus other crops. And so being able to time these alerts when they're going to be most valuable to people, I think, is a thing we can also do next year. The other thing for us is that not all of the yield threats that we were able to find are something that growers could do something about. So I think there's this balance between alerting people to things that they can fix versus just letting them know a dynamic on their field that's outside of their control. And finally, I think that it gets back to some of those behavioral things we talked about earlier. Not all growers are going to trust that we know what's going on in their field if we haven't actually been there. And we actually had someone tell us that they had driven by the field just earlier in the week and they didn't see anything when they drove by. And so why would we be able to find something that they hadn't seen themselves? And so being able to talk about the value of something like this on, you know, a 100-acre field when very little of it's actually visible from the road. That's all I have today. Thank you for your time.
We have time for a couple quick questions.
If I'm a grower and I'm a farmer in the Midwest, how would I go about contacting FarmLogs so I can take advantage of these services?
Yeah, so we're an online app, so you can go to our website, farmlogs.com, sign up, and just you can draw your fields onto like a Google Maps kind of interface, and then you would automatically get access to things like this. It's free right now. There's actually going to be an announcement pretty soon that I was told not to talk about. So if you could check our website, I'd say within the next couple of weeks, you'd be able to hear everything. That's a good point. So like I said, I can't actually talk about much of our future plans. If you go to our website in the next couple of weeks, you'll see everything you'd need to know. I think that's a really valid point. So you saw that we only had 5 images for that field in 2014. There are a lot more days than 5 in a given year. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is figure out what other imagery sources can we integrate into this pipeline. RapidEye, I think, is great in that it doesn't require our users to do anything at this point, but I don't think it's the end-all be-all of imagery in terms of its, you know, its revisit rate. Cloudy years, you're just not going to have access to imagery, things like that. What's that? One of the big things we found with Landsat is that the spatial resolution is 30 meters. And so at a 5-meter resolution, you're able to pick up much more than you are at 30 meters.
I have a question about your error rates. So the pie chart you showed your false positives. Mm-hmm. Right? What about your false negatives?
So that was one of the real difficulties for us this year, in that we don't have a lot of ground truth data for this type of thing. We use this actually as a way to reach out to farmers to be able to get them to share their yield data and some other information they'd had in terms of pests or nutrient stresses. And so we didn't have a lot to work with in terms of ground truth. So I don't actually have a rate for you.
I have one more follow-up question.
Yep.
WDRVI in development stage. Now, WDRVI is best for when it's a very full canopy. Did you notice that you got more or less errors at earlier development stages when the canopy wasn't full?
We did, actually. I think that's for two reasons. One, like you said, WDRVI is much less sensitive then. And I think the other thing is something that Dr. Brosser pointed out, just that transition from soil color to a vegetated surface. You're going to see a lot more in terms of those transitions. And so we actually sent out, we filtered much more heavily the alerts that we'd send out to growers when it wasn't going to be as useful to them.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.